Ian Smythe is with us. He's the secretary of the Historical Radio Society and is joining us here this morning. Hello, Ian.
Hi, Sonia. How are you?
Very well. Good. Now, Arthur mentioned that name. That was a name you're very familiar with.
Yes, just from doing research on this 100th anniversary, I was vaguely aware of some of the early pioneers of radio, and that was one name that kept coming up all the time.
Now what happened here 100 years ago?
Well, really, it's a very interesting story because there's a lot of conjecture between who was actually first, 5CL or 5DN. And there were quite a lot of people who had licences, temporary licences or experimental licences, to run radio. You couldn't just start up your own transmitter and just broadcast. You actually needed permission from the government to do it. And that permission was given by the old Postmaster General's Department. And so the government decided that they would have two classes of licence in Australia for radio stations. The first one was called the A-class licence, which was fully funded by the government. And the other class was called B-class, which was commercial broadcasting. And so the group of people who were going to call themselves 5DN eventually, it had a different name at the beginning, they started broadcasting on their temporary licence back in June 1924, waiting for the expected licence that they had been promised by the government. And then at the last minute, the government changed their mind and gave the licence, the first licence in South Australia, to 5CL. And so who came first, the chicken or the egg? I mean, is it the one who broadcast first on a temporary licence or the one who broadcast first on their official licence? We don't really care, to be honest. I think your point, Sonia, is a really valid one. It's the social impact of radio and what happened afterwards that is so profound.
What was the broadcast area of 5CL? Well, how far did it go, the signal?
Only probably a few hundred metres to begin with. Because the technology wasn't there.
Yeah. I mean,
there were big clunky valves that took a heck of a lot of power to run them. But as time went on and the technology improved, the footprint of each radio station got further and further. Just to give you an example, a couple of years ago, my wife and I were driving to Beltana up in the Flinders Ranges, and we were listening on the car radio, because out there in the desert you couldn't hear much at all. We were listening to ABC radio from Port Lincoln, which was nearly 600 kilometres away, clear as a bell.
Mm.
Because AM radio can travel much further distances because it bounces off the ionosphere.
Yeah, people bag AM radio a lot for various reasons, but I tell you what, it kind of stays in there. It's kind of got the staying power, hasn't it, for long distances.
Would you want to be in a bushfire zone when the local power goes out, the local radio station goes out, and all the other transmission is cut off? And the only thing you can hear is AM radio from 500 kilometres away.
Mm. So, Ian, what sort of content were they broadcasting in the early days of radio?
A lot of it was live music. Because, of course, wire recorders had been invented by then, but not sophisticated tape machines. One of the first broadcasts was from the Hume family, who ran 5DN. Their first studio was in Parkside from their house, and the transmitter was on the roof. And it was Mrs. Hume who actually played the piano and sang.
just her belting out a favourite show tune.
That's right, yeah. And they would only be broadcasting for an hour or two a day, and that would be it. Yeah, the full-time broadcasting didn't really happen until many, many years later.
Yeah. So who were some of the early radio stars? Not necessarily 5CL, but who were some of the...
you got Jack Cawthorne from 5DN. Let's see, Mel Cameron, of course. Mel was the father of Grant Cameron, who was later on SAFM and
ABC.
Show.
And ABC. A drive presenter here on 891 ABC Radio Adelaide, not all that long ago.
The great Barry Hall from 5DN, who's now in his 90s, and had lunch with him last Friday at the anniversary of 5DN.
Wow.
There's another great character, was a chap called Laurie Schoberg. Laurie was the head engineer who developed a lot of the broadcasting equipment for 5DN. He's now almost 100. And he was at lunch last Friday as well.
My ex-colleague Ken Dickon often talked about Laurie Schoberg.
Laurie Schoberg is a great man,
indeed.
Yes.
Mm. Mm. Oh, see, this is bringing back many memories, these names. Interestingly, if you are into radios or that sort of thing, you've got an exhibition, the Historical Society, at the City Library. We'll ask about that in a moment, but you've also brought in a few of the toys, the earliest kinds of radios, here into the Grosvenor. So if during the course of the morning you would like to make your way in and be part of our ABC Gives Day here at the Grosvenor remember 100 years of radio, you can see some of these particular items, but you can get a really more detailed look at the City Library.
The City Library exhibition is called 100 Radios for 100 Years. So there's 100, actually 101 different radios in the library.
What, you couldn't count or what?
No, it was a competition for children to get the extra one.
Can I ask, Ian, is it true that the first radios were sealed to one station?
They are. Oh, they
Can
were,
we bring yes. that back just for the ABC?
That was part of the, yeah, this lovely story about the early days of broadcasting and the lack of regulation, and then suddenly there was too much regulation.
Yeah.
Because it must have been like the Wild West for all these different companies all fighting each other for a slice of this new market that was emerging. And so somebody in their wisdom decided that now each radio station would be given a frequency, and the radios you could buy were tuned to just that frequency, and you couldn't listen to anyone else. So if you wanted to listen to two or three radios, you had to buy two or three stations. They had
something back in those days, didn't they? Well, I think we need to return to those days.
But Sonia, it didn't last.
No, so many things don't. No. Oh, look, fantastic. You're going to be coming back around 10:30 to chat with David Bevan.
Yes.
More about the history of radio and what the exhibition involves. So we'll get a bit more detail on that from then. But Ian, it's been lovely to chat with you. Thank you.
Good, thank you.